B-Pod Studios.
Thanks for choosing Felger and Maz to entertain.
There's no reason to touch
them. And inform you in the afternoon.
I think your cheeks are a little loose.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
Kane went for a hit on Chara. Kane got the worst of that. And then Chara steps into Kane. And he buckled him. And now Kane grabs a hold of Chara and just starts throwing him. Chara's now going to grab him. They all gather at the bottom of the far circle. Chara fires a right hand. Another right to the body. Chara right hand. Kane is now holding on. Chara with the right. Chara, another overhand right. Another right. Another right to the ear. The linesman's going to step in.
Now that was a TKO. They had to stop that. Because Chara had him. And once he's got you and he's got the reach going, it's over. And that was over. That was over. So I thought it was a really good night for the Bruins overall, but the fighting was the best part. I'm sorry, not just entertainment-wise, what it represents. The buy-in and the fighting for each other and all of that. Matching that stuff, it's important. And I think last night showed you the team has it. Anthony on Cape Cod. Go ahead, Anthony.
How you doing? I got a little moment for you. I don't know if you remember last season, October 27th, 2017, to be exact, the Bruins were at the bottom of the NHL. You wanted to blow it up and trade Chara. I was the only person in New England who called you. I was the only person who stood up for Chara and said, hell no, this guy is a special player. He's a generational player. And what he brings to the table, I said, I don't know if you remember, I said he's the most underrated superstar in the history of Boston sports, or certainly right up there. People, all these frauds, used to do a fan or fraud segment. It was wonderful. I can't remember what show it was on, Bruins pregame or something. Most of these fans are frauds. They don't appreciate Chara. Okay, what he represents, having him on your side, what he brings to the table, especially come playoff time, he's just a special player at his fitness level, at his age. Okay, his leadership, the way he brings on young players in the locker room and says, no, everybody gets respected.
Hey, Anthony, I'm just going to stop you before you make a mess of your pants.
Aren't you special?
Good God.
At least it's only a two-year-old, not one from 10 years ago.
Well, no, I mean, you know what he said on October 27th, 2017,
yeah.
Don't you?
I was the
only guy,
Anthony,
who said.
We log all of that stuff, just so you know. So you're right. We double-checked the dates. You got it right.
Yeah. You wrote off their season.
Oh,
everyone
please.
Wanted to try. I was the only guy.
Listen.
I was the only one.
Listen, I don't take back that. I'm respecting Chara more by the day. He deserves a tremendous amount of respect. And the fitness thing is a whole nother thing. Like, to do that at 42?
Oh, some of the stuff he's posted on Instagram in the past, it's ridiculous.
I don't know if we have it there.
The box jumps.
Oh, God, the box jumps with him are ridiculous.
The squats, then the one-legged hurdles, box jumps, and then he's climbing the rope with the weighted vest. Like, oh, geez.
I could do that.
But I'm sorry. Last year, if someone came to you at the deadline and gave you two first-round picks for Chara, that's a move you should have looked at. I still would have done that. What? Able to lose in five games in the second round to the Lightning? He should have been on the block last year, and that's not saying I want to trade him, but if someone's going to come and give you a stupid offer when you're not going anywhere, why wouldn't you do that?
Yeah, no. Again, Anthony on the Cape was very impressed with himself.
Good Lord.
It's something he said a year and a half ago.
I mean, I really respect the guy. I like the guy. Great Bruin, all of this, but at the right price, yeah, he's gone.
I just think the thing I would
say
about Chara,
showing the rope climbing thing on NBC Sports Boston. The guy is just an animal, though.
He's a good leader. Like, there isn't anything that he preaches that he doesn't practice. And to me, the big part is the team concept. He's a team guy. You can see it. Like, that I believe in.
Bill in Walpole, give me a Bruins take. Bill.
Yeah. Hey, Felga.
Yeah.
Sorry. Yeah. A couple of quick things. Just on Chara. That guy, that had nothing to do with race. He just beat up on their tough guy. That's all that was. I don't know what that guy was talking about in New Hampshire. He's a B.O.B. boob. Second thing, on Marchand's goal, reminiscent of Rick Middleton, the way he slid the puck in the five hole, haven't seen that type of finesse from a Bruins player in a long time.
Okay, but that's Marchand's game. You've seen it from him.
Oh, no, he can finish. There's no two ways about it. And he's great at that little five-hole move. He does it all the time. He tries it in the shootout. Sometimes I think too much for crying out loud. But in terms of putting the puck away, Oh, no, he's smooth.
Okay, what did Kane say after the fight? Go ahead, Bob and Waltham, what? Okay, he dropped on me. Mike and Quincy, what did Kane say after the fight?
Hey, New Hampshire guy is absolutely right. That's what he said. He said that it's because I'm black. I could read his lips. I don't know why I was making it like a political thing, like telling him to go watch Fox News. It's go back and watch what happened, and then render your opinion.
Okay, I said the Fox News thing because I just got a whiff of it from the guy. What can I tell you? I can just sniff it.
And I'm getting assaulted with tweets with people saying, he was saying to the ref, are you effing blind? Are you
effing blind? That's what he said, because even I think he said it in the post game.
Yeah.
Well, no, not only that today, but the tweet that he sent about the three blind mites. Did you hear about this?
No.
Okay, when the Chara verdict came down today that there would be no disciplinary action, Evander Kane tweeted out an image of the three blind mice, implying that the officials in the league office are blind.
Why do we not talk politics? Because people who want to do this suck. That's why. You suck. So go somewhere else. Bob and Weymouth, go.
Hi, how you doing? Bob and Weymouth here. Let's see. Did you see the interview after the...
No, go ahead. Finish, Bob.
Sorry about that. Did you see the interview after the game when Kane said he gets treated differently?
Yes, he's talking about because he's a physical player.
That's how I took it.
That's not what he was referring to. He's a chippy, sometimes dirty physical player. And so,
well, I have to admit, after you guys just posted the tweets with the three blind mice, before that, I thought he was saying, it's because I'm black. And then after the interview was terrible. That's what I thought.
So okay,
I'll have to apologize.
Well, no, don't apologize for anything. I don't know. What can I tell you? It never entered my mind. I don't think it entered anyone's mind. I don't think. Okay? I know the comedy, and I think we played it before. About he's one of those players. It'd be like Marchand saying that, I guess I have to do it myself because the refs won't do it for me.
Absolutely.
Well, they treat me differently because, and Kane is one of those guys who gets treated differently because he's got a track record, and he's been on the right side of it mostly. I mean, Jack told you this in the broadcast last night. Google his fight with Matt Cook. You want to talk about a first-round TKO? He took care of Matt Cook for you pretty good. So Kane's a rough character. So he gets treated differently.
I mean, I almost equate it to like being a big quarterback in the NFL.
If you folks want to go there, I'm just going to go somewhere else, please. Unless he actually said it, and then if he did actually say it, I'm still going to ask you to go somewhere else because I don't need the headache today. I don't want it any day. Go somewhere else with that crap. You want to banter around about race. That bugs me. We have some other things that bug me. And bug you. That bug us. Okay? What about bugging us? Some other things here in the world of football, in the world of baseball, and just in the world in general that bug us.
You're listening to Felger and Mass on 98.5, the Sports Hub.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
Felger and Maz on 98.5 The Sports Hub. Follow these guys on Twitter at Felger and Maz.
All right, a couple of things across the world of sports that bug us. Here's one. ESPN.com might be Jeff Passan. Can't remember. I didn't write down the author's name. Here's the report. Major League Baseball is prepared to scuttle the implementation of a pitch clock until at least 2022 as part of a wide-ranging proposal to the MLB Players Association that would include the ability to implement a three-batter minimum rule for pitchers and roster size changes in 2020. Sources familiar with the plan told ESPN. Scuttling the implementation of a pitch clock until at least 2022. What year is it?
Yeah, there's only one proper response to this story, and that's ugh.
Wait, it's 19, right?
Yes. It'd be the end of this after the CBA's up. The CBA's got three more years.
19, 20, 21.
Force it down their throats.
So three more years, and then maybe in 2022 when they have a new CBA, but it'll have to be collectively bargained.
Right.
How should I feel about that?
You should be annoyed.
I'm so annoyed by that.
Yeah, and not just the fact that it's 3 years. The other thing that's annoying is that the owners clearly don't care about the pitch clock either. Because they're willing to trade it off for 3 years. They're using it as a bargaining tool. And not to whether or not to include it, Mike. They are now trying to use the commissioner's ability to unilaterally impose it. Right? Like, he could put it in now if he wanted. But they're trying to say to the players, you know, we're willing to put it off. He won't unilaterally impose it if you would agree to these other things. So now they're trying to use that as leverage to get other things, which means it's not that important to them. So is that what this thing was about from the beginning?
It's just a chip, a leverage, a negotiating chip.
Oh, God, it's so annoying. The problem has to be fixed. Get it moving.
And they're willing to trade the three batter minimum. Like, that feels more important. Or, you know, we'll put off the pitch clock for the three batter minimum thing starting next year. What's more important to the game? The pitch clock. The pitch clock. Let me answer the question. There is nothing. Nothing is more important. Number one on the list of these myriad of issues that are facing the game, that are the problems that are facing baseball. Number one is the length of time the pitcher holds the ball on the mound. Number one. And all the other things that bug me about the game today are a distant second. That's number one. Throw the freaking ball. Throw the ball. Throw the ball. Throw the ball. Get on the mound and throw the ball. They have to address that, and they're not. And they're not.
Oh, God, it irritates the crap out of me. Again, I think when they put this in the Arizona Fall League, that they said that a game's shortened by around 15 minutes. Might have been 10 to 15, somewhere in that area in the Arizona Fall League. And then when they did it in the minors, the game time dropped by a similar amount. It wasn't quite the same, but it was close. And I look at that and say, how can you get those types of results doing it in, you know, professional settings? And then not do it in the big leagues.
You've mentioned it. You didn't just mention it just now. I don't think you went to a minor league game with the pitch clock, right?
I did, yeah.
And just watching it as a fan, you notice the difference.
Absolutely. You do. You notice the difference, and the clock catches your eye. So you find yourself looking at the clock between pitches saying, okay, this guy's got to get moving. And sure enough, they're like, to me, it worked. It worked. I felt like it worked. It was subtle, but it worked. You noticed it. And so now the idea that the fact that the owners, or that the commissioner, which is on behalf of the owners, is now saying to the union, well, you know, we're willing to put it off in exchange for these changes sooner. Well, then I look at it and say, you guys aren't taking it seriously either.
It's just a negotiating chip.
Like, I keep putting it on the players, and I keep saying the players don't want it, shove it down their throats, and he doesn't want to create a work stoppage, so he doesn't want to start the fight. That's what it is. And the reality is, I don't think that's it. I don't think they really think it's a big deal either. I think they just want to use it to get the other stuff in the bargaining agreement.
There's about five or six things they absolutely need to do, must do, but number one, and the gap between one and two is massive, is speeding up between pitches. The pace of play. So that really bugs me. The three-pitcher minimum will help a little bit. It certainly will. Also in the same story, Maz, also included is a joint study of the strike zone and mound height and distance, according to sources, another spot in which the parties' thinkings coincides. MLB, in partnership with the Atlantic League, which is in the Independent League, I guess, plans on using the Independent League this year to begin testing an automated strike zone and mound distance farther than 60 feet, 6 inches.
Yeah, that's radical, but you know what? It's not a bad idea.
That is radical as craps. How long? It'd be 60 feet, 6 inches forever.
Yes. And so, but this is one of those things that you could tweak over time because people throw the ball harder now than they did then. So the reaction time is a lot less than it was when they first started the game 150 years ago. Like,
has it always been 60 feet, 6 inches?
I think so. I don't think it's ever been different. And so, you know, I don't know. Maybe you make it 62 feet. Maybe it's 64. I don't know what the number is where, you know, there'll be a tangible difference.
64 is a big difference. That's
huge.
Way too far.
Yeah, that's huge. And I don't know, maybe it's 6 inches. Maybe it's 61 feet.
Exactly.
Like, and the other thing, by lowering the height, it'll change the plane that pitchers are coming into if they want to look at that. I'm all for that.
I'm all for that. Absolutely.
Yes, they should be using, you know, and again, they did it with the pitch clock in the Arizona Fall League, and they've done it in the minors. So this is the type of stuff that, those are the laboratories. Those are pretty good laboratories for Major League Baseball.
Okay, another proposal by the league includes starting a runner on second base in the 10th inning of the All-Star game and spring training games, and ending the latter in a tie after 10 innings. So spring training games end after 10 in a tie. We're starting a runner on second base in the 10th inning of the All-Star game. I think that should be the way baseball is. No problem with ties.
So I'll tell you what they should do in the All-Star game. Because then, because the All-Star game should also be a laboratory. The whole idea is introduce new stuff that fans can look at and go, how did this work? Why would you do it in extra innings when there's no guarantee for the game to go extra innings? Do it in the last three. Seventh, eighth, and ninth.
Ooh,
start
it.
A man on second base in the All-Star game, and let's see what happens.
So I think another big problem in baseball is the playoff games that go 19 innings. You know, you say it never happens, but I feel like every year there's some sort of five-hour game that ends at 2 or 3 in the morning, and those are the games you actually want to watch. When it happens in the regular season, it's like you can take it or leave it, you go to bed. When your team is in one of these games, and there were a couple, like when I was watching the Brewers, they had one game that went to 2 or something, and then a couple nights later, the Red Sox had one, or maybe it was in the next week or whatever, and it was like, those are games you want to stay up for, and you can't. They've got to, I think the 19-inning baseball game is asinine. I don't care when it comes. Spring training, regular season, or playoffs. You got to figure something out there.
I mean, again, the idea of putting someone on second, I'm for it.
Okay, there's annoyance number one. Here's something that doesn't annoy me, but it might annoy you. And the NFL owners, the competition committee, the owners on the competition committee are meeting right now about rule changes to put in proposal. In Indianapolis, John Mara, the Giants owner and on this committee, he came out of the committee meeting yesterday and said, I don't see a lot of support to use replay to call penalties. I don't sense a lot of support for the expansion of replay either, said Mara on Tuesday. We're early on, so that might change, but that's my sense of where we are right now. It ain't going to change. That the play that screwed the New Orleans Saints in the NFC title game ain't going to be any different, and it's just not going to be any different.
So I'm not shocked, but there's got to be some mechanism in place to review an egregious call. And again, you know, I say there's got to be. I understand it gets gray and you open up a can of worms because that was a non-call. It's not like they threw a flag and then you pick it up. You're actually asking someone to interject a flag in a play where there wasn't one. So I get the difference. In an NFC championship game, a play like that can't happen. Just not in this day and age. It can't happen. There's just too much at stake. And I know we've touched on this before. What if they legalize gambling? Like in something,
do you think you open yourself up to lawsuits or something?
I don't know. I just think that there will be greater scrutiny on how the game is officiated if all of a sudden there are federal and state interests. Like all of a sudden, you know, that's a whole different can of worms. What's going on here now? Like, you know, because now you're going to be serving millions upon millions of people legally.
I mean, to me, the solution then is to eliminate it. I mean, replay. Get rid of replay, period. So there's none of these, you know, how come we can review this and not that? Well, let's bring in a replay official just to adjudicate the game-changing big plays. Well, what qualifies as because a game can turn in the first quarter on a blown call. So do you buzz down then, or does it only have to be in the fourth quarter? And what does it, you know, so how do you define that? It's impossible to define. You want to end all that? End replay. Just say the official's call stands.
I mean, I wouldn't cry about that.
Me neither, in all sports.
I mean, I grew up in an era that didn't have it.
I think it's ruined all the sports. Or not ruined, but I don't think it's worked in any of them. It
hasn't, complicated?
Hasn't ended the controversies. I mean, it's just made it worse in a lot of cases.
Slowed it down, made it more annoying.
Slowed it down, made it more annoying, hasn't ended any controversies. We're still bitching about calls after all these games, so what's the diff?
In fact, in some cases, it's made more controversies.
I mean, right. What have we done? I mean, we haven't changed that dynamic at all. I don't think. So scrap the whole thing, but that'll never happen. The only way to do this is to have some sort of really broadly worded clause, like, you know, kind of like best interest of the game kind of thing, or it's replay official to adjudicate, how would you even phrase it? Clearly defined late game, game-changing plays, like something like that. But that's so subjective. What does he buzz down for? What does he not?
I don't know.
And is he allowed to call a penalty? Because that's what that would be. You wouldn't be reversing anything. You'd be throwing the flag from the booth. You'd be throwing the flag from the press booth. Is that what you really want? I don't. Please. Third thing that annoys us, and this might be the worst of all. This might be the worst thing. This is
the worst of all.
This might be the worst than putting words in the mouths of that Sharks player last night.
This to me borders on a political transgression.
This is,
go ahead.
This someone needs to be physically beaten for this.
I told you, someone needs to be arrested. This should be a felony. Keep going. It's un-American.
Franchise tags are now available across the league, and the San Francisco 49ers have applied their franchise tag to their kicker. You tool bags.
I'm telling you, again, I don't know any other word to use for this, and you laugh at me. It's un-American. It is. It's un-American. The whole franchise tag clause exists, I thought, in spirit, for the idea that, well, you know what? We've got Tom Brady as our quarterback. We can't come to an agreement on a contract. And if Brady leaves, well, then you take the New England Patriots and pretty much flush them down the toilet. So as an owner, I should have the right to be able to keep Brady's services for another year at a very high salary until we can figure this thing out.
And if not, so, Brady, a phenomenal pass rusher, and, you know,
Trey Flowers,
Von Miller, someone like that. Trey Flowers here with the Patriots.
Premium positions.
Yeah. An actual football player. Yeah.
Premium positions. Not just a football player. Because you know what? You can take your right guard and shove him, as far as I'm concerned.
I'm trying to tell you the kickers aren't players.
No, and I question whether a guard is. I think
that's a little strong.
I think the whole thing should relate to premium positions. And you know what? If you have to collectively bargain this and identify what the premium positions are, fine. Quarterback, corner, defensive end, whatever. You pick 3 to 5 and that's it. But like kicker? Kicker's on the list?
You cheapskate tool bags. Honestly, that's what you are. Cheapskate tool bags. The cheapest, the lowest paid position on the field. They even make less than running backs, if you can believe it. They're even more useless and interchangeable than running backs. And you have to pay the kicker. If you like the kicker, pay the kicker. It's the cheapest position on the field. It's the cheapest position in the league. You're going to franchise the kicker to save what? 500 grand or 200 grand or whatever? Just pay the guy.
I'm telling you, it should not be allowed. I can't believe that this gets done. And Robbie Gould's not going to be the only one.
Robbie
it's going to happen
Gold,
here.
And it ain't, we're not talking, it's Robbie Gould, nice kicker. But Lord, we have to franchise Robbie Gould now? Pay the guy.
It's even more embarrassing that he's the first player in the NFL to actually get it so far this offseason.
Oh, it's a joke.
It's him and no one else.
I can't stand it when these guys franchise Vinatieri or Gostkowski. I think it's a bad look. If you like your kicker, just play them. Pay the freaking kicker. Would you pay the freaking kicker?
I mean, the whole rule exists, I think, initially, in theory, to reward, you know, protect the owners from losing a high
franchise players.
Right, from losing a high price player, when so you guarantee the money for a full year and you get a good contract out of it. The owners have now flipped it and used it on, I say now, it's not like it's a new development. They use it on kickers.
That is so, but not now. They've done it all
exactly.
The whole time. Oh, I can't stand it. I can't stand it.
Kickers.
They should be taken out back and slapped across the face.
Told you, felony.
Slap them. Kick them out of the, relegate them. You won't pay your kicker? What's the matter with you? So you got to franchise him for $5 million versus paying him 5.2 or 4.9 or what? What are you talking about? What lengths do you have to go to sign Robbie effing Gould? So the Bears are going to sign him. So what? Then let the Bears sign him for $10 million and you go get some other weenie kicker. Good God. What are you doing paying a kicker $5 million anyway? You suck.
Careful. Patriots have one. Gostkowski's
I'm not talking about the Patriots. I'm talking about the San Francisco 49ers.
Oh, what's the difference? The Patriots are going to franchise their guy,
too. I just want to clear what I'm talking about. You tool bags franchising the kicker. Just pay the guy.
Should be a felony.
I can't stand that.
Punishable by a maximum of 5 years in prison.
Absolutely.
I'm half serious.
I'm not joking.
I hate the rule.
They should be taken out of the league. At least beaten about the face with a moist sausage. Okay, so those are three things that bug us. I want to do one craft follow-up topic that they've been talking about a lot in the morning, and that is if Robert's suspended for the first game, should they delay the banner ceremony? I just want to weigh in on that because they've done that a lot in the morning. I just want to offer my 2 cents on that. We will as well, and I promise we'll get to your calls right after Murray's update.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top 5 Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Making sense of Boston sports.
There's no catching and no throwing. Anyone can play, no matter how hopelessly unathletic they are.
Felger and Mez, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Hi, Mez, the craft item. Doing a lot of it on the Touch and Rich show with Rich and Ted Johnson this morning about if and when Robert is suspended. And you got to think he's going to be, right? It's just a matter of how many games. But he'll be suspended for the opener. Should they
hold off raising the banner until he's back.
No, I think this idea is preposterous.
Okay, should they not? And if so, why or why not?
Because life goes on when you commit transgressions. We're not going to hold up the... If this was like a personal matter, you know, and I'm just using extremes, like, you know, death in a family, you know, something... Even then, I'm reluctant to do it because I say that this is the reality of it. There are a lot of other people who are involved in that championship, and that's when the celebration should happen. Now, look, if you... You know, you ask the players involved and everybody else, and they want to delay it in the event of a family tragedy or something. Fine.
Of course.
But in this case, he broke a law.
The banner going up is a testament to the accomplishment of the players and coaches, period, end of story. Like Maz just said, it goes up, life goes on. Who's saying this, by the way? I didn't listen this morning. No offense to them. But are people calling in about this? You know, do they want this delayed?
I think some people do.
Then everyone's lost their minds.
And maybe Wallach. I think Wallach thinks that they... Could or should?
I got the sense listening this morning that Wallach thought that they could get around it and find a way to delay it so Kraft could be there. And I'm thinking, no. Like, again, and I should say allegedly at this stage,
and
right?
Maybe even Teddy. I think even Teddy said that's the first thing he thought of.
But he's involved in a legal issue that may result in his suspension from the league. It's, you know, this isn't some abuse of power by the commissioner's office.
Exactly. So that's why I don't think they should. And I'm not worried. I think Rich's big thing was pissing off the league. Like, you're really going to piss off the league if you don't raise the banner on opening night. They put you on Sunday night or Thursday night, probably Sunday, and you don't raise the banner. That's sort of thumbing your nose to the league. That's not even my issue. My thing is, he did it. He's guilty. It's like, no, there are consequences for it. I mean, to me, that's what it is, simply put. It's not,
I mean, it's
like,
as basic as it gets.
I made a flippant comment like yesterday, the day before. It's not like he's coming back from the front. You know, it's like you're waiting for someone to return from war or from service or from a family emergency or something like this. He walked into a massage parlor. And by his own free will, he's the one that created the problem.
Yeah, and he got busted. So, like, I look at it and I say, no, I'm sorry.
You don't let him off the hook?
No, this is the reality of the world. You make mistakes and you pay a price for them.
Yeah.
That's the way it works. And so what? Everyone else has to hold up the bus now because he walked into the Orchids of Asia?
So help me God if this is gaining traction at all.
Oh, no, like, no. And I
think it's preposterous.
I'm not sure it is. And I don't want to create anything that's not there. Okay. I thought it was an interesting debate point. I think there are some fans who would say, yeah, wait for Robert to get back.
And I understand.
For what, though? I'm sorry to cut you off. But for what? Like, what's the reasoning behind that? Is it a middle finger to the NFL? Is it to the world at large?
Yeah,
you're a bunch of stupid babies.
Okay, partly, yes, middle finger to the league. But if I'm trying to be nice. Unity. We're all patriots. You know, we're all gonna wait for the old man to get back because he's the patriarch. And
so, what if it's a year suspension?
We're all one.
You put it off for a year?
I don't know.
You can't. No. Oh my God.
so let's play it out. So if Julian Edelman gets suspended again for four games, we're supposed to wait till game five to raise the banner?
Well, so I think the thing was, and didn't they say? Now, who knows if they actually would have gone through with it. But the year Brady was suspended, if they had won the Super Bowl, they said they weren't going to raise the banner.
Okay, I don't like that either.
I mean, I got to remember what year now we're
talking
about.
Although that one's a little different.
What year? So it was...
Because they threw him under the bus.
Yeah, and then they put his whole picture on the tower, remember?
Yes. No, yeah. Yes. So, but I think that's, you know, that's sort of the thing, that they would have waited for Brady. They wouldn't have raised it when Brady was serving that four-gamer. At least that's a little closer to the bone because he was overpunished and, you know, you were doing it and you were guilty of sin. But
and he was also on the field playing the game.
Yeah, he's a player, well, the most important one.
But the league got stupid, so you kind of had a case there. He was overpunished. And so there was at least something there. You know, there was a good debate about the punishment and should he have been punished and all those things.
Okay, so let's...
There's no debate on this one.
No, let me give you the clear and obvious comparison now. Edelman gets popped again.
Yeah, you don't wait a second.
We're going to wait for game five?
No.
No, he's the MVP of the game. We've got to wait for him.
I understand.
Stupid. No, you look at Edelman and you say, you dumbass. You got caught the first time and you did it again? Dumb. Banner goes up without you. We'll leave your ring in your locker. You can pick it up week five.
So to me, the thing that would bug me if they held it off is that it's sort of, it has that whiff of, you know, that, you know, the Brady thing. You know, F you, you know. He's unfairly prosecuted. You know, we're going to make a stand because Robert's being unfairly maligned. You know, he was unfairly prosecuted, so we're going to stand behind him. We're doing a hard time because everyone's out to get us. Like that thing, again, post, go pound sand. Go screw yourself like you little baby. If you've got that approach, which I fear that's that, that would be the optics of it to me. That if they held it off, that would be the optics. When the fact is, he's the one that walked in there
twice in 18 hours.
He's the one that walked in or of his own free volition. He walked into this entire mess. It's entirely on him 100%. And if you delay that, you let him off the hook. It's like you're not acknowledging that.
Well, and talk about extending the negative story on top of it, too. Like, even looking at it from that point. So then, like, oh, you're not going to raise the banner. So they'll show the empty owner seat in week one. They'll still be talking about how he got busted for solicitation. And then come week six or week seven, after
when he comes back, it's like, oh, here he is,
after missing 6 weeks because of solicitation.
That being said, it's still going to be a story the first day he walks back into that stadium. And when the first day he walks back into the stadium, he should absolutely do something. You know, do it again. Like, have another little ceremony. Absolutely. Like, that's cool.
Stick your head out and wave. That's all you got to do. Don't make some grand scene out of the whole thing. It just perpetuates.
Well, that's also awkward, too. It's like, I'm back from the Orchids of Asia. Back. Hi, everybody.
I'm with Murray. Just show him on the board. You know, back in the building today. No statement. No nothing. Just put the picture on the board. Well, people will know.
All I'm saying is, if they want to do something when he returns that day, like, fine, okay. But to wait is letting him off the hook and has the whiff of you feel like you've been unfairly prosecuted, which is a joke.
Oh, gosh, no, please. To me, it's preposterous. The idea is preposterous. I think it's absolutely ridiculous. You know, the reality is the reality. And so you have to live with that.
Okay.
And that means accepting the realities that go along with it.
There's our thoughts. I promise. To your phones right after this.
You're listening to Felger and Mass on 98.5 The Sports Hub. BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top 5 Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Oh, I like this.
This is Felger and Mass.
Part of me wants to do it just to feel what that feels like.
98.5, the Sports Hub. The
Sports Hub.
The Sports Hub. The Sports Hub.
All right, guys, a lot to get to. We started with Bruins, gave you takes on the replay in baseball, replay in football, franchising the kicker. You cheapskates, pay the freaking kicker. Don't franchise him.
What a weaselly move.
The Niners did that would be Gould and the Kraft conversation. Chris and Raynham, what do you got for us, Chris, on Kraft?
Hey, guys. First, I don't think they would hold off raising the banner because that punishes the fans. Number two, I think your take that it's crazy to think that Kraft will get suspended for more than 6 games because it's unprecedented is wrong, because so is Deflategate was unprecedented, the suspension for that.
So I didn't say that. I said it's going to be somewhere in the range of 6 games.
Yeah, so you said past, you don't think it's going to be past 6 games. I think there's a chance that it could be past that.
I said if it's past 10, you've gotten screwed.
Yeah, and I think there's a chance of that. I think they're going to lump this in with Deflategate.
Oh, that's too bad. Your phone is starting to break up just as you're starting to cry. That's unfortunate. I was so looking forward to your commentary. So looking forward to your commentary. His comment line said, draft pick loss for the Patriots if a suspension. Boston, I will make a deal with you, Boston. I will make a deal with you. If you lose draft picks over the Kraft thing, I will get in line with you. I will lead the charge with you.
Yeah, that's an easy one.
We will do shows where I will pander to you, and for 4 hours we'll take angry phone calls from Patriots fans bitching about Goodell. We'll make T-shirts with clown noses, and we'll do the whole thing. Okay? I promise you. That's my word to you. If you lose draft picks for this, I'll be on your side, and I'll lead the charge, and we'll shake it for a week, 2 weeks, 4 years. I promise you. Until then, please, I don't want to hear it.
They're not going to lose draft picks.
I don't want to hear you crying about them losing draft picks till they lose draft picks.
They're not going to lose draft picks. He's going to get $500,000 fine. I mean, that's the max allowable, so I can't imagine that it's going to be less than that. And he's going to get suspended.
He's going to get games.
Yeah, he's going to get suspended for a period of time.
Here's Nick in Salisbury. Go ahead, Nick.
All right. Now, I would agree that franchising a kicker, these general managers should be lynched for that. But
Strong.
Well, but John Lynch, fine. That play on words. Go ahead.
Well, the thing is, they're doing it because he threatened to leave to go to Chicago, back to Chicago. That's why they franchise him.
Then pay him or let him go.
I agree, but I'm just telling you why they did it.
Oh, no, I understand. I think I even mentioned that. Because Chicago, of course, cut that guy.
Cody Parkey, is that his name?
Parkey. Posty Parkey. He's gone. So fine, yeah, they want... So either pay him or let him go. If you franchise a kicker, that is a weenie move, man.
It is, Tony. It's like it's the equivalent of using a 50% off coupon on a pack of gum.
Exactly. Exactly.
That's what it is.
Save that coupon for something that matters.
Exactly. Go buy yourself a new TV or something.
Sal in Westbridge on replay. Go ahead, Sal.
Hey, thanks for taking my call. I just wanted to say that I think it's absolutely ridiculous that you would even imply that they would get rid of replays in any sport. I know you guys are talking about the NFL. I just think that the technology is there, that it could be better. We could get some sensors going on footballs, man, like anything. Like, you know, you're watching the strike zones on FS1 and they're terrible, but like those umps are idiots.
Sal, I don't know if it's improved. I've come through, I could have asked you how old you are, but my whole life there was no replay. And in the last, whatever, 10 years, 20 years, there's been replay. I haven't noticed a decrease in controversy. Or blown calls or games that went the other way because the ref screwed it up. I feel like it's exactly the same.
No, we're just bitching in more detail.
I mean, really, has it changed that?
No. In fact, I think it's opened up a can of worms, too. And again, I just give you baseball as an easy example. That play at second base when you slide in and steal the bag and then popping up.
Oh, my God.
You could fit, you know, the seven of diamonds between your spike and the bag, and that's called out. I hate that.
And so there's all sorts of dumb ones.
I absolutely hate that. And that never existed before.
If my option is to expand replay or get rid of it altogether, I'm getting rid of it altogether. Will in New Hampshire has something for us. Go ahead, Will.
How are you doing, guys? Hey, Mike. First, I'm with you on just eliminate replay. Second, real quick thought on the Pats. I've heard that Arizona may be interested in Kyler Murray with the first pick.
Right.
Would you guys be in on going after Rosen?
100%.
Sure.
And I'm not telling you that I think he can play or I have no idea.
But that's the profile fits.
Absolutely.
Yeah, high draft pick that, you know, another team is moving because they see something better.
Absolutely. So
would you give up a first for him?
No.
No.
Nope.
It's got to be less than that.
Yep, you bet. You blew the first round pick. He doesn't have first round value, but
we'll give you a second.
After that, let's talk.
Yeah. Yeah, see, I feel the same way. I wouldn't give up a first for him, though.
You bail on a quarterback that went that high, that fast, he reeks of damaged goods, so he can't get another. You can't get a first in return for him.
I mean, they don't deserve that, but that profile of the guy, 100%.
Yeah, that's exactly the kind of guy they should be going after. A guy that another team drafted that maybe didn't pan out, and you know they're going to move on from him or they're going in another direction, and you might be able to get him.
Jim in Burlington, your thoughts on the banner?
Yeah, so I mean, this isn't about Goodell or anything like that. I don't care about that angle. But just because, I mean, this is just my personal view, I don't think what Kraft did is terribly, terribly wrong. So I don't see the big deal in maybe doing it, you know, after the Thursday game if we're not in the opener, or maybe, you know, the Saturday before if we are in the Sunday night game, just so he can be there. I think it's a little ridiculous to have to miss his team's banner-raising thing. Like, again, this is nothing with Goodell. I understand it's the law.
I understand what you're saying. You're saying, should the guy really miss the banner because of a massage? I mean, a strong massage. Again, you want to go read the affidavit? That
doesn't matter if he gets popped for a traffic stop. And I understand the argument. His building, his team, his business. You wait for the boss. Life goes on. I can't believe this is now starting to get, it's gaining traction. I can feel it. I can see it already on social media. People want this to happen.
Get off the internet, Murray.
You're all idiots.
And by the way,
doing it in the preseason before is the same as waiting in week 12 after. It's the same thing. You're not doing it on the night that the network's giving you a big game in the Sunday night window, and it's the same thing. You are sort of taking this. To me, it just has the whiff of they're out to get us. We're being unfairly punished, and that's just a joke. When Robert walked right into it himself by his own volition.
Yeah, look, you're quote unquote bending the rules to get around it to accommodate. You know, Kraft. And in this case, I would say, sorry, there are certain things you bend the rules for and certain things you don't. And this is one that you don't. And the other thing is, you know, the caller said that he doesn't think it's a big deal. That doesn't matter. I don't think you can call it a rule, but the standard the league has is it doesn't have to be criminal. Anything that they think brings or puts the league in a bad light leaves you open to discipline from the league as an owner.
Sometimes you just got to lay in the bed that you made. That's it. Mark in Medford. Go ahead, Mark.
Yeah, Mike. Marcus Johansson last night. First game with a new team, and he looked like he fit right in seamlessly, like he's been playing with the Bruins all season long. He had two or three good scoring chances and an assist last night. I'm actually liking the moves that Sweeney made.
I liked him. I liked him last night. I was reminded he's got a little bit of skill, and he's a more polished, skilled offensive player than Wayne Simmons. And that's sort of the debate. Simmons was a little cheaper. You're a little more attainable from a cost standpoint. Sort of fit the Bruin mold a little bit more. Simmons is a right shot too, right?
Yes.
Wasn't he a right shot right wing? So it's like even fit that a little bit more. So people wanted Simmons over Johansson. Simmons, at this stage of his career, I don't think has the handle that Johansson does.
Look, on the play that DeBrusk scored on, and I think at the end of the day, DeBrusk made that play. First of all, he got the puck in the first place, and then he had to turn and kind of was almost behind the net when he knocked the puck in. But that said, Johansson to me on that play just showed poise with the puck. There was nothing panicky about him. He took the pass, gave it to Krejci. Like, he sort of saw the play developing the way that Krejci did, and then, you know, to me, he's a step ahead mentally.
Their lineup's better. With Coyle, again, who ain't Wayne Gretzky, and Johansson, who ain't Mike Bossy. I'm not telling you these are superstars. I'm telling you they've made you better. I don't know how much better. I don't know if that closes the gap with Tampa. Last night was a really nice night for the Bruins. Skill-wise, physical-wise, fighting-wise is great. And I like those. The lineup makes more sense. It's just a better lineup right now. So we'll see what that all means. Coming up next, we haven't even done this yet. We haven't even gotten to these guys yet.
It's unbelievable, isn't it? It's a good time to do it, though.
How about the Celtics?
Something tells me it's going to take over the last 2 hours of the show.
Nice team you got there, Stu. We'll get to it right after Murray's update. 90 seconds, no commercials.
Stay tuned for more Felger and Mass on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.